Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. And I'm very proud to let you know that my firm, Odin Feldman and Pittleman, which sponsors this program, will be transitioning some of our partners in as hosts of the program over the next several months. I'll be taking a hiatus up until the fall, and the program will be known, instead of Blueprint for Wealth, we're going to be calling it A Matter of Law, which will be an educational program still, focusing on legal developments affecting businesses and individuals generally. And my first co-host will be John Frieden, who is an expert in intellectual property law, e-commerce, and also starting up online businesses, which will be the focus of his first gig here on Blueprint for Wealth during the month of April. And then my partner Dave Zangrilli will join us for May, Stephen Cobb in June, my real estate partners in July, and then my government contracts partner Matthew Keller will pick it up in August. I'll be back in September to talk more about taxes, estate planning, and business planning. And also, I continue to invite you to view my blog at www.blueprintforwealth.org, where we've got articles of interest in taxes, estate planning, and business planning, as well as videos and pre-recorded shows from the radio all the way back to 2007. So we'd love for you to visit the blog and pick up some more information there. Today, we're going to talk about a checklist of to-dos when you first incorporate your business. I've talked about this in the past on the show, and I think it's always good to revisit it every now and then. When you form a new business, a new corporation, it requires careful planning and a number of key steps. So here's the checklist of some of the important issues that you need to address. Number one, choose your name. It's not easy, because many names are already taken, and some names may have trademark issues associated with them, meaning that somebody's already registered the name with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. Check out if the name is available from the Secretary of State or the State Corporation Commission in your state. In Virginia, it's the State Corporation Commission. Maryland, it's SDAT, State Department of Assessments and Taxation, and so on. Then do a Google search or a search engine search and a trademark search online to make sure somebody's not already using the name. If it's not being used, reserve the domain name with a domain name carrier such as GoDaddy or Network Solutions, and try to protect the name by getting your own trademark registered if it's really unique. Number two, decide where you want to incorporate or where you want to set up your business. Of course, Delaware and Nevada tout their corporation-friendly state laws, but you most likely are going to decide that the state that you reside in and are going to do business in is the state where you want to incorporate. It's very easy to incorporate in Virginia or set up a limited liability company. It's also easy to do so in Maryland and D.C., our local states. Number three, start preparing your incorporation documents. Now, it usually means, if you're doing a corporation, that you have to prepare articles of incorporation, or in Delaware, it's known as a certificate of incorporation. You also need bylaws, and you need resolutions that appoint your board of directors, and your board of directors then appoints your officers and takes other actions that are required to really start up your company. You're going to need stockholder resolutions to appoint your board, and you're going to need a stock ledger. If you are a corporation and you want to issue stock certificates, you need a stock ledger and you need the certificates themselves and more. You can always buy these corporate books from different services out there. You can also try to do this by incorporating through one of the online services like LegalZoom.com. But I caution you on doing that, because once you take that step and you need to ask questions of somebody about what decisions to make or what things to put into your incorporation documents, you don't really have anybody to talk to there to give you guidance. So that's why I always recommend using a lawyer who has experience in starting up entities, whether it's incorporating or setting up a limited liability company or any other form of entity that requires a filing with the state. So I would recommend using a lawyer. It's easy and cheaper to go online, but it's it's fraught with traps for the unwary, so be careful there. The next step is to file your articles of incorporation or your certificate of incorporation with the Secretary of State in Delaware or the State Corporation Commission in Virginia or SDAT in Maryland. It is required to do so in order to officially start your corporation. The same thing goes for starting an LLC. In Virginia, it's known as Articles of Organization. It's also known as that in Maryland and DC. In Delaware, it's called a Certificate of Formation for an LLC. Anywhere you go to set up the entity, you need to file this form. Next step is, and this is a very important step, and most people often overlook this, is determine the right amount of capitalization that you need for the corporation. What I mean is, how much does the entity need to own? Not you personally. What kinds of assets, cash and other assets, furniture, fixtures, equipment, must the entity own? One, to make the company a success, but also to provide protection from potential creditors piercing through the corporate entity and going after you individually for liabilities. There's a doctrine known as the thin capitalization doctrine in corporate law, which allows creditors to try to pierce through the corporate veil. So have enough assets in the company to keep it adequately capitalized. And part of doing this whole exercise is really figuring out what you need to run the business and keeping in there a certain amount of capital on a permanent basis. The next step is to actually issue stock to the shareholders if you have a corporation. And doing so, you need to comply with the federal and state securities laws. Whenever you sell stock to a shareholder, you have to comply with these laws. You're going to need a corporate lawyer to help you navigate through the stock issuance process. A lot of people just will go ahead and, you know, sell a stock for a dollar a share or whatever to their friends and family, and that may be just fine. But you've got to remember that it has implications. A shareholder is entitled to information when they're making the investment in the company, and information such as financial statements, understanding what your business plan is, getting a copy of the business plan, and doing financial projections to that effect. So in doing that, you've got to make sure that you provide this information to the shareholders. Next step, if you've got more than one shareholder owning the stock of the company, figure out whether or not you need a shareholder agreement or a buy-sell agreement to govern the ownership of the shares. These agreements provide what the shareholders are required to do for the business and any transfer restrictions on the shares, such as rights of first refusal, tag-along rights, drag-along rights, what happens when they die, who manages the company. All of these things are typically dealt with in the shareholders agreement. Make sure you've got a corporate minute book. A variety of corporate actions require proper documentation. That means that the board of directors may have to act formally to approve of transactions that are being entered into by the corporation, like agreeing upon compensation for the officers, such as entering into a lease transaction where the corporation is actually going to lease equipment or real estate. These things need to be memorialized in the form of resolutions that are adopted by the board. In some cases, the shareholders have to adopt resolutions. And every year, the shareholders have to elect the board of directors of the corporation. Don't forget to elect the officers and directors of the corporation. Depending on state law, you may need more than one director. Typically, however, one person can hold multiple officer positions, such as the position of president and CEO, as well as the position of treasurer or secretary. After you've got the entity formed, after you've elected your board and your officers, and you've done the other steps that I've described, go out and get your federal tax ID number. You're going to need this for your business in order to, one, file tax returns for the entity, but also to basically open up bank accounts. You can get this online by going to the Internal Revenue Service website or have your lawyer or accountant do it for you. Also determine if you need any special licenses for your business. State, federal, or local rules may require that you get special licenses. For example, if you're a professional, you have to have a professional license to practice as a physician, or a lawyer, or a CPA, or an engineer. These licenses are obtained through the state professional organization, typically, or the regulatory authority for the state. As a contractor, you may need a special license in order to engage in contracting activities, such as building or construction. These are all available through the local websites in the state of Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. For the counties, or for the actual state websites that talk about how to do business. Then you're going to go out and set up your bank account for the company. You should not use your personal bank account to transact business for the entity. You must maintain separate bank accounts. And in doing so, go out to your bank. You want to make sure that you take your federal ID number with you, take your articles of incorporation with you, and the resolutions that authorize the setting up of the bank account, and go down to the bank and set up the account and make a deposit of funds into the account, which will be deemed, if you're a shareholder in a corporation, a contribution of capital to the corporation. If you're going to hire employees, make sure you have all the proper forms and agreements for them. So you may want to have an at-will employment letter, a confidentiality and invention assignment agreement that makes sure that whatever they do for the company is owned by the company, and also an employment application and maybe even an employment handbook. Do not use an online version of these handbooks because, once again, they're fraught with all kinds of problems. If you've got questions on incorporating your business, give us a call at 703-218-2100 or visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com.